Good morning.
Wow.
The first Sunday of spring break and the church is packed. It's a Palm Sunday miracle. I'm not sure if today is the end of Lent or the beginning of Holy Week. It's one of those days in our church calendar that's a little ambiguous in kind of a lovely way. The 40 days and some Sundays that comprise our season of Lent are drawing to a close. Ever since Ash Wednesday, when we were reminded that we came from dust, the very elements of the earth, and indeed the elements of the universe, all of God's unfolding creation, and that one day we will all return to the elements. And we've been in a time during Lent in which we were encouraged to reflect on our lives, to ponder the great mystery that living entails, to be mortal, to be human, finding ourselves in this place and this time among all these diverse people and animals and plants and civilizations and cultures. We are co-creators within and alongside a God whom we know to be love. And following our Lenten theme, we've done our best to try to be human beings rather than humans doing. And that suggestion of a Lenten theme may have seemed like a tall order, because it is. We live in a time when doing shapes our identities. And I'd love to hear how our Lenten practice went for all of you. For me, it was enlightening and more than a little frustrating. I'm sure it would have been easier to give up chocolate for 40 days than to give up the compulsion to keep myself busy all the time. So, Palm Sunday, the day we remember what the church has come to call Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What a strange and wonderful triumph. Here's how Mark tells the story of that day in his bare bones, just the facts, ma'am, sort of way. Jesus and his followers have been making their way to Jerusalem, and they've been taking a very circuitous route with lots of detours along the way, stops to feed people, to heal people, to spread love as they journeyed to the city where the Passover festival was about to begin. And they were approaching the city from the east, from Bethphage and Bethany, where the entourage must have stopped. And Jesus from there sends two of his friends into the village ahead with instructions. You'll find a colt tied there. Untie it. Lead it back to me. If anyone asks you why you're stealing this horse, tell them it's for me and that everything will be okay. It must have taken tremendous faith on the disciples' part. I don't know if horse theft was a hanging offense in Palestine at that time, as it is in our not-too-distant past, but it took some courage to claim that colt. And sure enough, though, just as Jesus had predicted, there it was. And the bystanders that saw them untie it questioned them. And their explanation for what they were up to, Jesus told us to, satisfied them. So they led the colt back. Now, I'm not much of a horseman, but I know this. I'm not getting on the back of a colt that's never been ridden. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be a rodeo. But I guess Jesus, who could feed 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves and cast out demons, could ride an unbroken colt. And he did. There must not have been a saddle blanket available, so his friends threw some of their cloaks across its back, and he sat the colt. Then the people spread more cloaks on the road, and leafy branches, bring, that they had cut from the fields, and Jesus rode into town. The people were ecstatic, and they burst into song. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. Triumphant, the crowds must have thought, at last the kingdom is coming. This young man, the descendant of David, has come to shake off the yoke of our Roman oppressors, to restore us to the glory that we remember. Hosanna. They may also have been thinking, riding on a colt? But some of them probably remembered what their prophet Zechariah had said centuries before. He said, daughter of Zion, rejoice. Daughter of Jerusalem, shout. Your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I'd have thought that maybe after this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the crowd would have thrown Jesus a party or gave him the keys to the city or at least have him give a speech from the town square. But the crowd seemed to have dispersed very quickly. Jesus took a look around. He took a look around the temple, and as it was already late, he left without ceremony and retraced his steps back to Bethany for the night. What just happened here? I mean, really, did Jesus perform some sort of performance art? Was this street theater? Were the crowds singing Hosanna a flash mob? Or was this another miracle? This strange and wonderful entry into the holy city, followed by a retreat with no fanfare at all. The Jesus I know was so wise and clever and loving that I think it could have been both a performance and a miracle. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan wrote a book called The Last Week, What the Gospels Really Teach About Jesus' Last Days in Jerusalem. In it, they argue that two processions entered Jerusalem on that day, the day we remember as Palm Sunday. They say that every year, the Roman governor of Judea, that would be Pontius Pilate, rode into town from his coastal residence to the west of Jerusalem, just in time for the Passover feast, that he came into Jerusalem displaying all of the pomp and circumstance of his Roman glory as a reminder to the citizens that they were celebrating their most holy day at the pleasure of Roman rule. It was a display of earthly power, of force and violence and conquest, and a reminder that the Jewish people should never forget who was the boss. And I don't know if Borg and Crossan were exactly right, that this is historically accurate, that it took place on the same day that Jesus entered the city from the east. And I don't really care, because the truths told in the biblical account are much more important to me than the historical facts can ever be. But Roman earthly power and Jesus' spiritual power, the power of love, converging on the city from two opposite directions on the first day of what we have come to call Holy Week, is a powerful image that stirs my imagination. You've probably heard me say it before, and I guarantee that you're going to hear me say it again. Jesus came into this world to turn it upside down, to shake us from our slumbers, to wake us from these dreams that we have that might makes right, that we live in a world where the ends of the powerful justify whatever means they deem necessary, where we are prone to worship false idols. I know I am. rather than relying on the grace and love that God promises to all of God's people if we can live gracefully and lovingly. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem demonstrates the triumph of humility over the presumption of power. The crowds, even though they might not have fully understood it, were onto something that day. Their song of Hosanna was a song of recognition, even though they thought they were seeing a conquering Messiah, a man they saw, instead of seeing a conquering Messiah, they saw a real man. They saw the real Jesus, a man embodying God's love, riding on a colt. They knew that something big was about to happen. Indeed, was already happening. They just didn't know what. So this week, Holy Week, is a pivotal week in our church year. Starting from today through next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we relive the story of Jesus' last days on this earth. From today's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and according to Mark, his abrupt retreat, we will move through Maundy Thursday, the story of Jesus washing his friends' feet and giving them the new commandment to love one another as he had loved them. And then on Good Friday, we live into the story of how Jesus was betrayed, how quickly the same crowds that sang Hosanna as he rode into town changed their tune and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." How he was nailed to a cross, crucified, died, and was buried. This week can be a pivotal week in our lives too, if we let it. It's not a comfortable story. In fact, it is a truly horrific story, punctuated by moments of grace. I encourage you to be brave and to take the journey with us together at our services on Thursday and Friday, and then to sit with Jesus in the grave on Saturday. All that happened in the last week of Jesus' life shocked and frightened his friends and followers. The man who they had come to love, who had shown them the way of love, was killed for speaking the truth of love to power. Most of the disciples abandoned him at the end because it was just too hard to follow him all the way to the cross. And as tempting as it is, we shouldn't look away from this reality, because, of course, the cross is not the end of the story. Just wait and see what happens next Sunday. I won't spoil it for you, so you'll have to come yourselves to find out. But I will say this. What happens on Easter Sunday is not the end of our story either. It's only the beginning. Amen.